You're joining me, of course, to talk about Pope Francis and the historic apology that has come down over this. I've read a couple of locations across Canada over the past few days. Now, I mean, it's not without its critics. Of course, just reading earlier, the former chair of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, Murray Sinclair, saying the apology, it still leaves a deep hole. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this deep hole that Murray Sinclair pointed out.
Yeah, I'm worried that the apology itself isn't the fulsome policy that our apology that so many people were anticipating. And a couple things when I read this, first of all, like I think it's wonderful that the Pope responded to survivors, their request that he come to Canada to make the apology in Canada, and that he accepted that invitation and he's here. And clearly he's not in terrific health. So he's doing this at some sacrifice, which I recognize and admire. And then I look at the apology, I watched it, I've read it a number of times, and I think there's a few things that many of us expected to see in this. One of them was to really talk about the role of the church. So he talked about individuals, kind of being consumed with colonization, and doing evil deeds, and talked about, you know, this deplorable evil, that it was a disastrous error incompatible with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it seems to point to a few individuals and not saying, you know, the church apologizes. Like the church is apologizing on behalf of some individuals. He does say the church kneels before God and implores his forgiveness for the sins of her children, which I think kind of gets there. But I think people just want to hear straight out, you know, the as the head of the Roman Catholic Church, I apologize on behalf of the church for all the terrible harms and wrongdoings that were committed against Indigenous children and families in Canada. You know, it's something like that. So, you know, I helped negotiate the Indian Residential School Settlement Agreement. There was something like almost 50 orders of the Catholic Church that were involved in running residential schools. And it may have been the Grey Nuns or, you know, all these different orders. And I can imagine some lawyer saying to the Pope or people that were writing this, well, you know, it was really those orders that did this, not the Catholic Church, qua the Catholic Church. But I don't think people care about all those, how the church constructed itself. They care about the fact that they want to hear an apology from the Pope on behalf of the church. So I think that's still something that he needs to clarify. He talked about this as a beginning, and so I'm hopeful that he's going to further articulate what else is coming, that there's a need for action. And he talked about no effort must be spared to create a culture able to prevent such situations from happening. Well, what does that look like? To me, that sounds like he should be rescinding the doctrine of discovery, because the doctrine of discovery was fundamental to the culture that allowed Indian residential schools to happen, the Indian Act in Canada to happen, the dispossession of First Nation and other Indigenous peoples of their lands, their homelands. So to me, that would be it would be fabulous, and it's what's expected, is to disavow the doctrine of discovery. And I, you know, when I read the doctrine of discovery, I would say, what modern religious institution wouldn't want to disavow that? And maybe it should have been disavowed in the 1500s, because it really had no place then, and it has no place now.
The doctrine of discovery you refer to in the sense that European settlers could claim lands that were owned by non-Europeans, from my understanding.
Yeah, non-Europeans and non-Christians.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you know, talked about pagans and talked about being put into perpetual slavery. I mean, there's a lot of things that are just like plain really ugly about that and really have no place in terms of sort of the modern architecture of society. So why not disavow that? And it may shake people up a bit. I don't think the world's going to fall apart, but I think it's significant to Indigenous people and other peoples around the world that this happened. I think the church records need to be given over to Indigenous people. That should have happened years ago. There's no question about that. There's the expectation in the settlement agreement that they would have done that starting in 2006. And I think the money that the church owes, I think they should just write a check and pay it all and then work with the Council of Catholic Bishops in Canada to figure out, you know, how to repay the Vatican or whoever writes the check. But they should just write the check and not just say, well, we're going to count on parishioners over who knows what period of time to fulfill our obligation. Just fulfill your obligation.
I believe you mentioned earlier that you served on the Truth and Reconciliation Commission as well.
No, I was the interim executive director that helped us set up the Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
Okay, and what was it that you worked on specifically?
I was in charge of all aspects of setting up the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, from the policies that underscore the work of the TRC to take the Indian Residential School Settlement Agreement and imagine what that would look like practically in terms of operating in Canada. So all of those policies that were associated with it, the budget for the TRC, and the setting up the process for the appointment of the first set of commissioners for the TRC.
Why do you feel it took so long to get to this point where the Pope, you know, is giving this historic apology? Why did it take so long?
You know, I wish I knew. I know that National Chief Fontaine led a delegation to meet with Pope Benedict in 2009. There was great anticipation that the apology might happen then, but it didn't. And I think it's the same thing that happens when institutions go about trying to do the right thing and make an apology or make reparations, is like lawyers and other advisors get a hold of this and say, oh, you can't really say that, and you're going to expose yourself to this, or you're going to, and really this is something from the spirit and from the heart, not generated by lawyers. And I really fear that maybe the Pope hasn't been getting the best advice.
In some of the research I've been doing, it's really looking at the church is said to have instigated, in terms of urging the federal government to be more aggressive, you know, in their efforts with Indigenous cultures. What exactly did the church do in that regard?
Well, I mean, it was certainly a partnership, a cooperative arrangement between church and government in terms of residential school and some of the experiments with education prior to residential schools. There's a famous quote that gets used about industrial schools, which were one of the predecessors to residential schools, but the kids would go home at night. The purpose was the same, to aggressively assimilate, to civilize and to Christianize children. But one of the complaints was that, this is the way it was written, it said the wigwam is stronger than the classroom, which is interpreted to mean that all the good work being done during the day to civilize, assimilate, and Christianize children was being undone in the evening when they went home to their loving parents and siblings and extended family. And the solution was to remove children from the influence of their family. And residential schools was born out of that idea.
And then, of course, sadly, they would lose their culture, their identity, and of course there was some horrific abuse that went on. That's been well documented.
Absolutely. I mean, punished for speaking their own language, and you know, mental abuse, psychological abuse, sexual abuse. I mean, all these things occurred, and over this, you know, terrible era, residential school era.
And it's really only recently that, you know, Truth and Reconciliation Day, it's really only recently that as a society we are talking about this.
That's very true. And, you know, I think one of the hopes was that while the TRC was operating, that we would have this national dialogue and we would, you know, civil society and Indigenous people and government and churches would engage in, you know, some visioning about where we're going as a country and how we would be jointly on a healing journey together. Because as National Chief Fontaine said, like, Canada has been scarred by this experience, and Canada needs healing too. And that really didn't happen. I mean, when you look at the polling, there's really good support for reconciliation, which I think speaks a lot to the people of Canada. But in terms of actually manifesting that, we're kind of stuck. And I think that through these, you know, when the first unmarked graves were recovered and rediscovered at Kamloops, it was like a punch in the stomach for the whole country. And of course, we found out that there's actually thousands more. Some of that we knew even before the TRC was set up about the unmarked graves and missing children. And there was work being done on that, you know, as we were setting up the TRC. But so I think that was a real awakening for Canada. And, you know, when I think about some of the deliberations and maybe even agony that different governments, municipalities, different associations went through after that, the 215 unmarked graves were recovered, rediscovered at Kamloops, people were like, should we even celebrate Canada Day, or what should we do? Like, this weighed heavily on the conscience of Canadians, which I think is a small thing. I'm really happy that that sort of thoughtfulness was brought to bear from so many people in terms of reacting to Kamloops.
So we've just had this historic apology from the Pope. What do you hope to see now? I mean, this is only the start of something.
I hope to see, well, from the Catholic Church perspective, action on the issue of records, on the issue of monies owed, maybe some really positive good neighbor moves in terms of land back. I mean, the Catholic Church owns a lot of property in this country. There could be some really powerful gestures to communities in terms of land. And land has always been one of the central issues in terms of relationship between church, government, and Indigenous people. The doctrine of discovery. Like, I'm hoping some of these things still happen this week. I really am. And as I think about, you know, the legacy for Pope Francis and leaving Canada with some unfinished business, I think that's a good legacy for him. I don't think it represents him from everything I can see in terms of what an incredible human being he is. So I'm hopeful that other things become part of his legacy with respect to the Indigenous people of Canada.
Excellent. Okay, Bob, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with me today.